Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, the month of Ramadan, in which the Qur'an was revealed, in which is clear proofs of guidance. So whoever amongst you witnesses the month, let him fast it. And whoever is sick or on a journey, then a number of other days. Allah wishes ease for you and does not wish difficulty for you. And so you may complete the days, and so you may glorify Him for His blessings, and that perhaps you may give thanks. So often we find Ramadan connected to the Qur'an, and it is, as we all know, Shahr al-Qur'an, the month of the Qur'an. We recite it more than we usually do, perhaps, if we are blessed, much more than we usually do. We hear it, if we are blessed, in the Taraweeh. And the Taraweeh carries us on from day to day and from juz to juz until the Khatam with the force of a fragrant river. And we know that this is the time of the Laylatul Qadr. Although its exact time has been hidden from us, so that we may make iltimas. Yutamisuha fil ashr al awakhir. Seek it in the last 10 days. It is to be found not by using a calendar, but by having an open heart. It is the night that is better than 1,000 months. And again, it is associated with the mystery of the revelation of the Qur'an. The Qur'an is not a book like other books. And as we move deeper into its pages, we intuit this clearly. There is no other book like it before or since. It even refers to itself, which no other scripture does. This Qur'an begins with the isti'adha, which no other book does. Even Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, when traveling students came to him in the Haram in Medina and asked him for hadith, he would stand up and go to his house and take a ghusl and put on perfume and then come back and pray 2 rak'ahs, and then he would narrate. Such reverence did he have for the words of the Mustafa salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. But he didn't say, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, this is for Allah's book alone. And this has many meanings. It is to create a barrier between ourselves and the profane world and then the sacred space, which is the Qur'an and its home. It is to drive away the hamazati shayateen, the whisperings of the shaitan that distract us and that come to us with meaningless thoughts, which are never of benefit for us, although they may seem important at the time. It is to help us to focus, to have hudur. One of the meanings of Allah's word, Ya Yahya, khudhi al-kitaba biquwa. O Yahya, John. The Prophet immediately before Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, take the book strongly. It said by the people of Tafsir to mean, concentrate. Do not dishonor the book by allowing the games of your mind to veil you from the meanings and the gifts. Concentrate. And as we move into this book, we see that it has other unique features. Verses where there is to be sajda. The ulama differ on how many they are. Imam Shafi'i says there's 14. All of it is good. Sajda to Allah Rabbil Alameen is always good. And the structuring of it in decreasing order of length, and that extraordinary harmony of the rhythms of the Qur'an that we hear perhaps particularly well when we're listening to a good reciter and Salat al-Tarawih, we hear that syncopation. Some of you who have been here for some time may remember our brother Abdul Latif Friedman, who was a Cambridge man, lived on Gwydir Street. He was David Friedman, he became Abdul Latif. He would come to Jummah. And he was a composer, quite a well-known musician. You could hear his music on Radio 3 sometimes. He used to teach harmony, composition. He was in that world. And as he came into Islam, he said the most extraordinary sound and rhythm is that of the Qur'an. He came to Islam relatively late, and I don't think he ever learned to read the Arabic, but he listened and he listened. And sometimes those unique rhythms would go into his compositions. The highbrow listeners to Radio 3 didn't know that some of these extraordinary pulses, where they came from. Rahmatullahi alayh. There is something about it which is unique, and we treat it with this special reverence, knowing that we will never know 1% of its wonders. We all remember the story of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, a Sahabiul Jalil, the mighty Sahabi, and how he began in his spiritual journey. He was one of the opponents of the Muslims in the days of their weakness in Mecca, and at the time of their greatest weakness, when many of the strong ones and many of the weak ones together had gone to Al-Habasha, he decided that it was time to put an end to this new risala once and for all. Perhaps we know this story. So he put on his sword and left his house. Kharaja min baytihi mutawashihan sayfa. Started striding, and everybody, of course, knew when Omar was about with his sword that something big was afoot. And one of his relatives stops him and says, "Ya Omar, where are you going?" And he said, "Uridu Muhammada. I want to go to that man Muhammad, alladhi farraqa Quraysha wa saffaha dinaha wa sakhita min alihatiha. I'm going to Muhammad, the one who laughs at our religion and who has divided Quraysh and who denies our gods." And the man says, "Perhaps you should look to your family first." "Why? Wa kayf?" says Omar. "Your sister and her husband and some others, they have joined him." And at this his anger grows, and he strides through the streets of Mecca until he comes to the place where his sister is. And she is Fatima bint al-Khattab, radiallahu anha wa ardaha, one of the early converts. وَكَانَ يَخْتَلِفُ إِلَيْهَا خَبَّابْ إِبْنُ الْأَرَطْ يُقْرِئُهَا الْقُرْآنِ. Khabbab ibn al-Arat, one of the early Sahabis, used to go to her husband's house with relatives and would recite the Qur'an to her. Omar bangs on the door. He's heard something. He bangs on the door. They open. Khabbab hides. Well, Fatima, radiallahu anha, أخذت الورقة التي كان عليها سورة طه. فَأَخْفَاهَا تَحْتَ فَخِذِهَا. She takes the piece of paper, or it was parchment in those days, on which the first verses of Surah Taha were written, and she hid it beneath her. And Omar is really angry by now. And he says, مَا هَذِهِ الْهَيْمَنَةِ الَّتِي سَمِعْتُهَا. What's that mumbling that I heard? And she says, "We have joined Muhammad, and we believe in him and his religion." And at this point, Omar could not contain himself, and he starts to attack her husband. And she tries to protect her husband. فَضَرَبَهَا وَشَجَّهَا. And he hit her and wounded her. And then when he saw the blood on her face, he starts to calm down. He recollects himself. This is family. And he says, "Show me the thing you were reading from." And Fatima, radiallahu anha, his sister, says, "La wallahi, innaka najisun ma dumta ala shirkik wa hadha la yamasuhu illa tahir." He said, "No." She says, "No, because you are impure and you worship idols, and this can be touched only by somebody who is pure." He's astonished. She orders him to go and take a ghusl, and he does it and comes back and looks at it. And then there's the amazing verses at the beginning of Taha. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على العرش استوى. And on and on, and it happens. As though the rain of heaven has descended on his heart and washed it clean. And he says, Wallahi, ما أحسن هذا الكلام وما أكرمه. He says, by Allah, how beautiful is this speech and how noble. Khabbab comes out. And he says, Ya Khabbab, dullani ala Muhammad. He says, Khabbab, take me to Muhammad. And so he goes with him. And he's still got his sword with him. And they get to the house. He sits at Safa. And he knocks on the door. Since this is Sayyidina Omar, it was probably more than a knock. And they look through. Hamza is inside, and the Holy Prophet, and some Sahaba. And they see that it's Omar with his sword. The Holy Prophet gives instructions that he be let in. And he comes in. And he says those words, جِئْتُ لِأُؤْمِنَ بِكَ وَبِاللَّهِ. I have come to believe in Allah and in you. وَبِالْأَمْرِ الَّذِي جِئْتَ بِهِ. And with the thing that you have brought. فَكَبَّرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَكَبَّرَ أَصْحَابُهُ. And the Holy Prophet said, Allahu Akbar. And his Sahaba said, Allahu Akbar. And this was the beginning of his journey in Islam. Subhanallah. At that time of weakness for the Muslims, they were given strength with Omar. After that time, because the Quraysh were afraid of Omar, they would not stop the Muslims from praying at the Kaaba. There's so much in stories like this, and we can read Sirah forever. Firstly, think about how brave his sister was. That must have been a terrifying situation in that world without police or anything. Her angry brother, she knows his temper, is standing there. He has his sword. He knows that she's joined the new religion, which he hates, and he asks for the piece of paper, and still she won't give it to him. That's a courageous woman. But why won't she give it to him? Because of what it contains. Kalamullah, Allah's speech. She knows that this is the voice of eternity. She knows that this has to be protected, if necessary, with her life. This is not Kalamul Bashar. And perhaps it was because of that, her courage and her determination not to hand this little scrap of paper over, that started the process whereby he takes his shower, comes back, and then he's changed. So we revere Allah's word. And this has so many aspects. When we read it, we should try to understand it. And if we don't know Arabic, inshallah, we will learn some Arabic, and we will work with translation so that we know at least the main words and we can benefit. And as we read, if this isti'adha has done its work, we should be paying attention. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يمر بآية رحمة إلا سأل ولا بآية عذاب إلا استعاذ ولا بآية عقاب إلا استعاذ. Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم never passed when he was reading a verse of mercy but that he asked Allah for mercy. And never did he pass a verse of punishment, but that he asked for protection. وَلَا بِآيَةِ تَنْزِيهٍ حَتَّى سَبَّحْ. And never did he pass a verse of tanzih, declaring Allah's aboveness, his otherness, his transcendence, without saying subhanallah. This is the way of the salihin as they read the Qur'an, attentive with their hearts and their minds. And what is this deep mystery? Laylatul Qadr is a mystery. The Qur'an is a mystery. This collection of verses that comes from the unseen world and that has this extraordinary quality and these unique features, and that one of the great Sahabi women is prepared to defend its physical form with her life. What is this? Can we understand it? We know the effect that it has on us. We know the intoxication or something like that that we feel when we hear it recited beautifully, which is not like any other sound. the rhythms and the sounds and the harmonies, and it's unearthly. What is it? This is not kalam al-bashar. This is not the words of a human being. This is the speech of the Eternal One. آيات حق من الرحمن محدثة قديمة صفة الموصوف بالقدم. The poet says, verses of truth which are renewed but which are ancient. Their quality is as the quality of he who has no beginning. لم تقترن بزمان وهي تخبرنا عن المعاد وعن عاد وعن إرم. They're not connected to time, and yet they talk to us about the end of time and about the destroyed people, about Ad and Iram. فَلَا تُعَدُّ وَلَا تُحْصَى عَجَائِبُهَا وَلَا تُسَامُ عَلَى الْإِكْثَارِ بِالسَّأَمِ. So when they are repeated and they are repeated, the one who listens, however often he hears, is not troubled by any boredom or fatigue. Subhanallah. قَرَّتْ بِهَا عَيْنُ قَارِهَا فَقُلْتُ لَهُ قَدْ اسْتَمْسَكْتَ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ فَأَعْتَصِمِ. The eye of the one who reads is in a state of delight, so I say to him, you have touched Allah's rope, so hold firm. This is one of the meanings of Hablullah, Allah's rope. We're in the stormy sea of our own misdeeds and our confusion and the uproar of the world, and we need help. We need to be hoisted out. We can't swim very well. It's a long way to go. And the rope comes from the lifeboat, and of course we hang on to it for dear life. So there is this reverence for the book, in which is our salvation, and which is our salvation. And as we listen, and as we read, and as we hear, and as we are delighted, we move through degrees. And the ulama have often spoken about this and tried to work out what is this mysterious alchemy, this transformation that happens to the heart, which perhaps is what we are seeing when we read about the conversion of Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu. What exactly did the book do that it could change such a heart, to become such a heart, so he became the second Khalifa, the one who will conquer Jerusalem and will pray in the Haram, the great Umar, Umar the Great? What is it about this kalam that can do that to a human heart? One of the ulama has said there are three degrees of making progress, spiritual advancement, darajatu taraqi, when reading the Qur'an. Before these three degrees, there's just the ordinary secular degree of taking it from the shelf and looking something up. He's not talking about that. He's talking about facing the Qibla with wudu' and isti'adha and reverence. And how does the Qur'an, a book, take you up? He says, firstly, you feel that you are reciting the Qur'an to its author, to its sublime creator. That's the first degree, a good degree, the degree of khushu', penitence, awareness, reverence, haiba. And the second degree is when, in reading the text, you feel that Allah is speaking to you, His speech addressed to you. And in this there are many mysteries. And from the beginning of Islam until the present time, so many people have found such wonders in the Qur'an, absolute relevance to their own situation, so much shifa wa rahmah, healing and mercy, event after event, miracle after miracle, the wonders of the Qur'an speaking to you. Again, this is far beyond the reach of human language. And then the third degree of these darajat al-taraqi, the ulama say, is when you reach the stage of awareness of Allah's presence and realize the reality of His name, Al-Qarib. Subhanallah, the actual presence of the divine. Because these words are not ordinary words, these are the uncreated words, Kalamullahi al-Qadim. They are an attribute of God. So the Qur'an itself is a moral path. It helps us to understand history. It tells us about Allah and His attributes. It tells us the halal and the haram. It tells us so much, but it's also a pathway upwards towards the reality of the divine. Sayyidina Ja'far as-Sadiq, radiallahu an, one of the great imams, teacher of Abu Hanifa, used to say, Wallahi, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قَدْ تَجَلَّى فِي كَلَامِهِ وَلَكِنَّهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Subhanallah, what does this mean? The imam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is manifest in his book, but people don't understand. But the people of Allah are always the people of the Qur'an, and in it they find their delight and their nourishment and their sense of qurb, nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the gifts of the month of Ramadan is that we experience this qurb and this nearness as we move forward step by step, day by day, juz by juz, towards the khatam, towards the Laylatul Qadr, and then the great Eid, which is said to be an anticipation again of the Qiyamah, when the blessed will find that there will be no more restraint, no more fasting in Jannah, ikhwanan ala sururin mutaqabilin, just brethren facing one another, relaxing, qilan, salaman, salama, the word peace, peace, the aid, the final aid that doesn't come to an end, when all of our restraint in this dunya comes to an end and it finds its just reward, and more than its just reward, it finds the immeasurable satisfaction and generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Jannah is forever, infinite. Our works are just for the few days, weeks, years, decades that we have in this troubled world. They're finite, a limited number, but what Allah gives in return is bighayri hisab, without reckoning. So Ramadan takes us forward and takes us inward as well. One of the great ulama of Islam once said of his journey through the Quran, firstly, I felt it was coming to me from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, I felt it was coming to me from Jibril alayhi salam. Thirdly, كأنني أسمعه من المتكلم. It's as though I was hearing it from the speaker himself. Subhanallah. But Allah, in His generosity, has veiled Himself. And the majesty of the experience of His closeness and nearness to Him is something that we are mercifully protected from. Because how could we bear it? But there is something of that majesty in this book. There is something of the rigor and the jalal of Rabb al-Alameen in this book. And as we listen, and as we experience this ladha and this farah, this joy and this delight, and we remember the word of that alim who said, when he'd reached this third degree, the degree of hearing it from his Lord, he felt it was as if Allah was speaking to him directly. فَأَنَ ذَكْ مَا عَرِفْتُ لَذَّةً وَلَا نِعْمَةً أَعْظَمَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. At that time, I had never known a greater delight and a greater blessing. So yes, the Qur'an is so many things. It is all in all. But the Qur'an leads us on. Through the mysterious quality of us hearing it, resonating in the mihrab, in Muslim countries, hearing it on the radio and written on walls, and here written on the walls of this mosque. Kalamullah al-Qadim, Allah's uncreated speech. As all of the ulama of Aqidah will tell you, غير مخلوق, uncreated, a deep mystery there. Something of the divine that resonates within us. And this is the essence of the meaning of the Salat, which is the essence of Islam. It is the great pillar. The essence of it is the Qur'an. That the Imam is hearing the infinite. And through the Imam, we are hearing the infinite, and we're being changed in subtle ways that are so deep in the soul that we probably can't understand or realize what is being done. But we come to the Taraweeh because we know that there is a fragrance and a beauty. Whether we know Arabic or we don't know Arabic, for these things it's not so important. The presence is there. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a blessed last few days of this blessed month and bring us safe and sound, insha'Allah, to a blessed Eid, and to make us, insha'Allah, people of the Qur'an, zahiran wa batinan. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.